Brother David wanted me to come up and have prayer with him. I am Evan Stump. I serve with Brother David in the ministry. But more than that, he is my uncle. And more than that, he has been a tremendous mentor in my life, in my past. Brother David has sacrificed much of his time for me on my behalf in my younger years. And I want to bless him for that. I have a suggestion that if anyone is fighting sleep, it's too late for this service, but for tomorrow evening, go over here to the old shower house. I decided to brave it. I took a cold shower. I feel very awake. All right, let's stand for have a word of prayer. Blessed God in heaven, we come before you just now with thankful hearts to you, O God, realizing that you see and know every need that is present here this evening. And Lord, we are looking to you for more, to be filled. Might we open our hearts to what you have for us through our brother this evening from the Word of God. Your Word is truth, and your Word will never lead us astray. Oh God, help us to keep your Word close to our hearts. Father, we pray that you would endue Brother David now with power from on high, anoint his lips and his mind, that he would proclaim, or that he would speak that which you have for him to say, for us to hear, and might we be instruments in thy hand, O God. Lord, we bless you. We commit this service into your hands. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Yes, we greet you also in the name of the Lord Jesus tonight. It's so good to see everybody here, each one that's here. Brother Allen said this is probably one of the most numbered men that we've had here since we've been having this back in 2011 or 12, I think it started. And we're thankful for every one of you that made the sacrifice to drive or fly or to separate yourselves from your family and your jobs and all your responsibilities to come here. May God bless you for that. It's always been an inspiration, and I want to thank Brother Allen and Aiden for getting this thing together and for the times that we've spent here. It's been very inspirational in my life. It's been inspirational in my life just to be here since this week, since Tuesday night, when that first brother preached there. And that word, as I told him afterward, I said, that's a tremendous foundation for the rest of the messages that will be here this week. And then Brother Dale brought out the grace that we heard, the grace of God this morning. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And when Brother Dale was preaching this morning, I had to think of somebody. Well, I had to think of a couple of people. We left our home on Sunday after we went to church Sunday morning. Brother Evan preached there, and we went home, had a lunch, and headed for Ohio. And we made it to our daughter's place, who lives in Middlefield, Ohio, and had supper and spent the evening with them. That's Julie and Laban Kaufman. I know some of you know them. And then on Monday morning, we went to see some people. We actually went to see Naomi Kurtz. I don't know how many of you would have known her, but she is the wife of Paul Kurtz, the traveling evangelist, the man who did much evangelistic speaking. And since he's passed away, we have never seen her. And I said, we're going out there and look at sister up. And it was such a blessing. She's doing well, and she has a nice house wherever she lives. And it was just such a blessing to renew our experiences. And we could have went over memories all day there with that lady for many hours today. But we were thankful for that. And then we went on to Brother Trent Eikenberry's place to spend Monday evening. He's here tonight, and it was a blessing to be there. And we got in the traffic jam and got there a little late. And one of the reasons we wanted to get there at the time we did, I wanted to go inside his church. They were having a service, and they were having a baptism for a young sister. And I was never in their service in their church, but we didn't make it because of the traffic jam. Actually, till we got there, they were walking down towards the baptismal pool there where the baptism was. But when Brother Dale preached on grace, I thought about that baptism because that's that young 16-year-old sister's name that was baptized, Grace. And I thank the Lord that we could be there and witness that baptism and see that and then go into the church and have a fellowship meal there. And it was just such a blessing, and it's a blessing for us now to be here and to be with all of you dear brothers and sisters. We still love to preach the Word of God. There's a lot of things I can't do with my health situation and my retirement situation. I can still do some little things. In fact, you can ask my wife. I help her more in the kitchen now than I probably ever did all my life. And I'll set the table and do dishes and whatever I can do to help her get food out, put food in, and even make some foods. And I told her she probably wouldn't want to eat them if I had to make all the foods. But anyhow, yeah, we've celebrated our 54th anniversary on Friday. Last Friday, we have been married 54 years. And it was such a blessing. I went to town and bought her a little box of candy that she likes. Their little buttercream dark chocolate. And I got her a cord and I got her a bouquet of flowers and brought that home and set it on the table. And just celebrate and joyful for 54 years of married life. And I want to tell you what, she is a virtuous Proverbs 31 woman. And I just thank the Lord for her. She is such a blessing to my life. I tell you, brother, I don't want to brag or boast, but when this brother was preaching the word this morning, or this afternoon, or that was this morning, about husband and wife relationship, I tell people, I don't want to tell them boasting or bragging, but I have never fought with my wife one time. I don't know a time about getting in bed and sitting there with our backs to each other, or sitting at the table or riding the vehicle and not willing to talk to each other. I have to do some counseling to some people with marriage problems, and some of them things I don't even know how to relate to. How they do that, I don't know what it would be like to fight and to argue and to slam doors and take things and be greedy of each other. Yes, we disagree. Sure we do. But we always work it out. And we take time. And we work it out. And it's a blessing. You see, she wasn't raised. Her parents weren't Christians when she was a girl. No, she wasn't. They weren't. And he was a worker in a Black & Decker company there, made tools in Lancaster. And she was older when they got converted, but she was a special girl. She went to Conestoga Valley High School, which is a pretty upright high school there, and she took first place in that school, being Miss FBLA. And so then they took her to all the schools in Lancaster County high schools, and she again took first place as Miss FBLA, and then they took her to the state of Pennsylvania, and she come in third place in the state of Pennsylvania for Miss FBLA. Now, who can tell me what them four letters stand for? FBLA. Maybe they don't even have it in schools anymore. Of America. That's right. Future Business Leaders of America. So if you want to know why I prospered building houses for 40-some years, that's why. No, she let me pretty much do all of that. She was such a godly, faithful wife of our seven children, and she is just such a blessing in my life. And I just want to praise the Lord that she can be out here. And I know someone else said to me or to her, I guess, my wife would come too, and they could help in the kitchen. Well, I said, if we start that with one, I'm not sure where we can draw the line for y'all. But she does all my driving, of course, so. She drove me out here, and she helps take care of me, and she is a blessing, and we're thankful for her and for our seven children that God gave us, and we have 29 grandchildren, and we have 11 great-grandchildren, one of them just born here a couple weeks ago, and we are thankful. We have one daughter who is not married. Her name is Joanna, so she lives with us at home there, and she is a virtuous Joanna. And I tell you, I tell people, I don't know how I could live without them two women in my life. I know many widowers, their wife passes away, and they have no children at home, and it would be a lot more difficult than what I would know, and maybe it'll come to that someday. We don't know. But anyhow, what a blessing to have a godly wife. So we still like to preach the Word of God. We just had a street meeting in the city of Harrisburg 2.5 weeks ago on a Sunday evening. And we are thankful that we could, we got a park there, and we sang hymns there in that park to people. And when we first started, there wasn't many people there, but then more and more came there. And Brother John Wine and his wife here met a lady there that said, that told her, she don't know if she ever seen any people like this. And she said she never heard people sing like that in her life. So I just want to encourage that to you. We don't have as many as we should. But we had a street meeting in the city of Harrisburg. And then we had an appointment with the Bethesda Mission there on Raleigh Avenue. And that's a mission that takes in men off of the street and gives them a meal and a place to sleep. But one of the requirements for them to get a meal is they must come to the service and listen. And we had a service in that mission. So I asked Brother Brother Luke Long, he's sitting back here. He had the inspirational devotion. And then Brother Evan preached the gospel message that night there on salvation to those men. And I guess, I don't know if there's about 40 men there or not. I'm not sure about that. But that lady that met John Wine, his wife, wants us to come back. She said, I'm going to invite people. So we're going back in 2 weeks again into the city of Harrisburg and have a street meeting there. And then she said, maybe you could bring cookies along for the people. I told my wife, if we start bringing homemade cookies, we'll have a big crowd of people. But that's all right, then we'll preach to them. So we will. Yes, thank the Lord for that. We praise God that we had that there opportunity to do that again. All right. I have also been asked to preach sometimes yet with my health condition this year. Not as many times as last year, not in the 7 states that I preached last year, but I'm thankful that I can still go and preach the Word of God. And if there's anything I love to do, is preach the Word of God. Yes, we're not those kind of people. Brother Evan and I and Jonathan are the 3 ministers in our congregation. So every third time, I have the message there. And unless I'm very ill or sick or something, of course, or away speaking somewhere else comes in at times, so we have to rearrange that. But I'm thankful for my other 2 brethren there. Jonathan Wagner is our elder in charge, and then Brother, and I'm a retired or I'm still an elder, but we, at age 70, with my cancer and my health, I asked Brother Jonathan to take that place, and then Brother Evans, our minister, and Brother Tim Keller, that I know some of you know, and Rhoda, they are our deacon, and it is such a blessing to serve God with those 3 brethren there in our congregation. Yes, it is. Now, next Sunday, we have what's called Harvest Meeting in Pennsylvania. And we have that once a year, and it's usually always the second Sunday of September. And what we do is we have it in one of the brothers' old barns, the big old barns with the barn floors, you know. And we have it in there. They sweep that all out, and they set folding chairs and hay bales. And then in the 2 hay mows to the sides of the barn, they stack them bales up like this, way up there until they get to the outside wall. And not only children, but many adults that come like to climb up on them bales and sit up there while we have these meetings. And you're all welcome to do that. Brother John Wine can give you the address where it's at. It's one of his deacon's farms there where he lives is where we're having it next Sunday, and you would be welcome to come. Then the deacons make a big iron kettle full of beef stew soup. And that's what is served for the meal. And the sisters all bring a pie. And that's where you can come and see an entire farm wagon loaded with pies from one end to the other. That's just how we've always done it. So that's how we still do it. And you are welcome to come, but there is a caution. The caution is this. Any ministers there is required to speak. That's a thing we've always had. And I don't know how my wife and I have been talking how many years we have it, been having it. I don't know. We had it down at our end over at Brother Evans' place last year. And, yeah, you are required to speak. So you will have to sit up on either bales or folding chair. You let you sit on either a whole way across the front. And we line them up. And we have a preaching for 2 hours. So we take our number of preachers and tell them it's 2 hours, and You have to keep your minutes. We usually, if I got it right, you brother can correct me, we usually have three messages and then we stand up and sing a hymn. Then we'll have three more and stand up and sing another hymn. But it's usually anywhere from 12 to 15 ministers. So I think last year it came out to 12 minutes apiece. That's it. Now, not all ministers know how to shut it down 12 minutes. Some of them just get going then, you know. But it is such a blessing. And that is next Sunday. And anybody there and here would be welcome to come to that also. And we thank the Lord that he still uses us and we want to be used to him. We were asked to speak at two funerals this year so far. One of them was in Ontario to Roger Drudge. I think many of you knew him. We were asked to have part in that funeral there. And then we were asked to have part of a funeral in the country of Jamaica, where my father lived as a missionary for many years. And this dear sister, Barbara Elliott, that passed away, was a very godly, faithful mother of her family. And she passed away. And we were asked to have part in that funeral down there. So that was just this spring also. And she has a daughter that married a son in our area, and they are members of our congregation there at in Little Kutztown, where we go. I'm also been asked to speak at the Teen Challenge Training Center on September the 27th. And I live right near that, within 2 or 3 miles. And I can't understand. I told my wife, I drove by that thing so many times, and I never thought of going in there and having a service with those men. That's where they have them drug addict men and all them men that they get in out of New York City or somewhere. I'm not sure where. It's called, I'm sure some of you heard of the Teen Challenge, and I know they have some other places and other cities in the nation, but that one's right there. And actually, my brother's wife's father sold that farm to Teen Challenge back in the 60s, I want to say, when they built that thing there. And I went by there here the other day, and it just came into my mind, why don't you go in there and ask them if you can have a service with those men? And I did. I asked it. And we finally got a hold after some time with the right coordinator to do that. And she has us going in there September 27th to have a one-hour service with them. And I said, well, we just mostly sing. And there's 102 men there right now. And she said, they will all be there unless they're sick or something. But see, that's how many men we'll be speaking to there. She said, we don't want you to sing the whole time, because they sing too, and they love to sing. And I mean, they really sing, them men, when you get in that big chapel there. And she said, I want you to have, I said, you want us to have a devotional? Well, maybe more than that, maybe a message. So you can remember us in prayer. That's the 27th of this month that I plan on preaching there to those 102 men or however many is there by the grace of God. Praise God for the word of God that he gave us to preach, and how our brethren have been so faithful in bringing this out, this word of truth, this afternoon and each time. Our message this evening is entitled, Lift Up the Hands Which Hang Down. And that is in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, if you would want to turn with me there. I think that's what they have on the brochure, Lift Up the Hands Which Hang Down. And Hebrews chapter 12 speaks of the chastening of God to his children. And the writer there writes, and I'm not sure I'll take the whole time to read all that exhortation, but we'll go down to verse 4 or 5 and start. Hebrews 12:5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. No spankings aren't too joyous, are they? No, they are. And there's some Old Testament scriptures, and some of you could probably help bring them up there. He that spareth the rod, how's that verse go? Is that one of the Proverbs? He that spareth the rod. Yes. And it isn't joyful while it's going on. I understand that. You can ask any little boy or girl getting a spanking. It says it's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, this is our verse, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And verse 13 says, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And verse 14 we'll read yet, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So I would like to preach this message this evening to ministers that are possibly discouraged. And the way I hear you singing in here, I don't know if there's anybody in here discouraged. The joy that we have about sharing and going through the scriptures together and having meals over there together and the fellowship. But maybe you're here tonight as a minister, and maybe you're like me. Sometimes I didn't used to always tell everybody everything that was going on inside of my heart, and then there's times I did. And there's times that maybe you can tell too much, it is not good, and then there's time maybe you don't say enough to others, and it would be better if we do it. So if you're here this evening and you're a discouraged minister and you're not discouraged, well, then I guess you can help take this home to ministers you meet that are discouraged and share some of these thoughts with him. This won't be a real long message here tonight. But anyhow, we are here. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're weary. Or maybe you're burned out. And those are all some things we hear sometimes preachers saying about how it is in their situations. And we all, at one time or another, at least in some measure, are faced with discouragement and weariness. Even if we're not maybe being discouraged with some of our membership situations, maybe with our workload, we just sort of become weary after a while. And we do. Yes, we do. But you know, we need to keep on. Yes, we do. We become weary in our physical work too, but do we quit the job? I don't think any of you brethren do. No, you keep going, even though it becomes weary sometimes. Things come up we wish would not have come up. Situations arise that we wish could have happened somewhere else instead of here. And maybe something happens to me, and I become weary and discouraged, and would have thought maybe this would have been better for another brother who's stronger than I am. He could endure this weariness longer than I can. In any such a case, a place like this with other servants can be a great source of encouragement and spiritual strength. We thank the Lord for that. It says there in this message, Hebrews 12:12, lift up the, and I changed some words here, lift up the limp hands. If you look these words up in the original text, you'll find this. And it says here, lift up the hands that are limp. Hands that hang down don't have much strength. And I know most of you, probably if not all, you are stronger than I am here tonight, but I can still lift up my hands. If I can't lift up my hands, I'm a pretty weak man. Yes, and if I can't lift my hands up spiritually, I'm a spiritually weak man. Yes, indeed, I am. But a place like this right here is a blessing. And it says here, lift up the limp hands. And it says also, and the feeble knees. Feeble knees. Now, I looked that word feeble up in the original text, and it means a knee that's limp or paralyzed. It can't move at all. A limp, paralyzed knee. Now, you know how important a knee is, don't you? I'm sure you all do. I know how it was when I cut mine with a chainsaw. I know how that knee and how I couldn't walk for so long. Yes, a knee is sometimes maybe one of those parts of the body that Paul uses over there in the book of Corinthians. They're pretty feeble. We don't pay much attention to them, but they're very important. And our spiritual knees are very important as well. Indeed it is. And lame feet is a correction resulting from chastisement from our Heavenly Father. Now, this chapter isn't just for ministers, even though that's who we have here tonight. Nor does it say that the correction is because of discouragement. But yet, both do apply to us all. It's for others besides ministers or people that are discouraged. Many people have these problems of being discouraged and becoming feeble and becoming limp. But anyhow, serving as a minister in a congregation certainly has areas, times, and places of discouragement and weariness. Yes, it does. Yes, and then, you know, Hebrews 12, verses 12 and 13 don't give a very good picture of a shepherd, does it? A shepherd that's hands hang down? I saw some of you probably have sheep. I raised some sheep in my time already. Yeah, but would that make a good shepherd here? Hands hang down, feeble knees, and lame feet. Would that make a very good shepherd? Well, at least I guess you can talk to them. And Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, and they do. And those of you who have sheep know how sheep know your voice. I had sheep in my barn or farm one time, and we had a visitor, and I don't remember who it was. It might have been one of you brother here. You might have been the brother. And I said, it's time for me to do my chores down at the barn. I said, you want to go along down with me? I got some sheep to feed. So we went down there, and the sheep were all out in the meadow from the barn. You could see them. Now I said, I always call these sheep every night, and they come into the barn, and I give them their feed and hay. But I said, this is what I want you to do, brother. I want you to call them tonight. And this is what I say to my sheep. I say, come, sheepy, come. That's what I do. Now, I says, you lift up your voice so they can hear, and you say that. And that man did that brother. I don't remember who it was anymore. He said, come, sheepy, come. Every ear and head went up like that. And I will tell you what, not a sheep moved. Not one. They stood totally there. Now I said, you watch this. So then I said, come, sheepy, come. Beeline into the barn, one right after the other. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Yes, and that is something that we as shepherds of the sheep need to be able to communicate with our sheep. Yes, we do. Drooping hands and knees and lame feet is not good for a shepherd. The husband ladies must first be partaker of the fruit, 2 Timothy 2:6 says. So this thing of becoming discouraged as a minister or as a brother, I was thinking of Daniel 7:25, who says, the adversary, he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Wear them out. You know what that means? If something's wore out. It's finished. And that's what the adversary wants to do in your church and mine. He wants to wear us out so that the adversary can come in and devour our flock. Yes. Discouragement, weariness, burnout, due to a host of various occasions, are aimed at the minister of Jesus Christ. And I just want to give you, dear brothers, a word of encouragement to press on tonight. Number one, the sheep leave you and go elsewhere, and you are left sitting with them. Maybe all the labors you put into that family that's now leaving your church, that can be a very discouraging situation. They're leaving. They're going to another church. And I'm not saying that's always wrong to do, and nobody should do it. But it just doesn't feel good as a pastor, does it? When you have a family that comes to you and says, we're leaving. After all the time you put into them, all the help you've given them, all the years that you've been with them, and now they're gone. That is one of the weary situations that pastors can do. Along with that, there can be pastor rejection, pastoral rejection. They can say things like this. We get fed better over there than here. You ever hear that? I'm going to tell you, I've been faced with that already. We get fed better over there than we do here. Yes, it's contrasting your ministry in church with this one they're leaving you now and going and joining that one. That's not a very pleasant situation. No, it isn't. But that some of the situations that you, dear brethren, can become very discouraged in. The weary and well-doing, or the destruction that wastes at noonday, and I'm not sure what all you think that means in Psalms 91, verse 6, the destruction that wastes at noonday after many years of faithful service, and maybe only halfway through, noonday is the middle of the day, they decide to leave you and your church and go elsewhere. It's a destruction. It can destroy. Yes, it can. It can destroy. The weary and well-doing, or the destruction that wasted its noondays, and then, you know, it can be a lot of things that they will use towards you. It can be the pain of you having erring children, like we have heard a blessed message on today. Yes, that can have a very discouraging effect on you as ministers, whether it be children, grandchildren, whether it be members of your congregation or whether, but when they err, and it can be very discouraging for you as a minister to help them. And we thank the Lord for the blessed teaching we have heard on doing that. The back down or the breakdown of the marriage relationship, which we've also heard a very good message on, designed in family order, and it brings confusion in the family. There's compromise. There's conviction differences and changes between him and her. That kind of a situation can be a area of how to nurture them. And I'm thankful for the message Brother Dale brought out on the grace to use in such a time like that. That is a very, very, and they will know that. They will know the difference between grace and whether you just get in there, get over with them, get out of there. Number four, servanthood as a minister can have a time of loneliness. And you might think I'm a little off there in that one, loneliness. But the reason I say that is you give and you give and you give. You visit others. You give time in many calls while others are out enjoying the social fellowship or the social life of church fellowship. You don't have time always to do that. You have sermons to prepare. Yes, you have meetings to be engaged in. Yet the daily responsibilities of you earning your income and nurturing your family, and you can very easily get this feeling of being cheated or taken out of advantage of, and can fall into the dilemma of self-pity and loneliness, even though it's not that you will never see people, but just that I just don't have time to maybe do the things I'd like to do sometimes. But I'd say, deny self. We've heard that. Take up your cross and let Jesus Christ help you get through those. Number five, maybe you're overworked or too busy. That can be an issue. That can be an issue sometimes with businessmen. They start a small business, it can become a big business, and they can get so busy and they can become overworked with that. And then the demands seem to grow greater than the resources you think you have or can do, and you become very tired and weary. And the demands of time, labor, steady, giving advice and preaching at other places, it can wear you out. And there's times I've just had to say, I don't think I can come. You know, I'd like to come and preach for you there, but there's times I've had to do that. And I don't like to always do that so often away from my congregation, because our congregation is a small congregation, and I like to be there. But I can't always do that when I'm away holding meetings like I did last year at seven different states. Why, you know, a lot of them were Sunday morning services, and I couldn't be at my congregation. And we sometimes switch. But I like to, I can't remember where it was, and I think there's some brother here. In fact, I know there is, where they've asked me to come here yet this month. And we had to flip some dates around there, so I wouldn't be going two Sundays in a row away from my congregation. I don't like to do that. I'm not saying I don't ever do that, but that's one thing I like about these meetings. Where we come out here, we were at church Sunday morning, and Lord willing, we'll be at church again this coming Sunday morning. It doesn't take us away from any of our Sunday morning services, and we praise God for that. Number six, false accusations against us as ministers. slander. And I would say if a man can't endure very much buffeting, he won't go far in his ministry. I think I can safely say that, and I stand for correction. If you can't stand, if I can't stand much buffeting, much fault finding in my life from other people, I don't think I'll probably make it very far. But by God's grace, Jesus was our prime example. All the things they accused him of, and yet he was without sin. And yet he touched the lives of many, many people. And you and I can do it too. Whether we are accused of many things, be faithful, be true, be pure. But brethren, keep on ministering to those who have many needs in their living soul to help them into glory. And you'll receive reports sometimes that are good and some that are evil, some that slander and some that will be belittlement about your children. And that can tear a man down in the ministry. When you get those thoughts about those words about your children, and they will. Yes, they will. They say, well, my congregation never does that. Well, God bless your congregation. You have a better one than I do and than I've ever been. But there's times that it just seems like Satan loves to do that. He will love to bring something about your ministry and in your life about your children that someone's saying about them or something they're doing or something they're not doing. And they're not always doing things that they should do. At least my seven children did, but I thank God tonight they're all in the kingdom of God, and I praise God for that. That is such a blessing. Then there's this thing, number seven, ministerial rivalry. I think I'm saying it right. And you maybe sometimes feel inferior to your co-fellow minister. And the people respond, praise, and relate more to him relate more to your counterpartners than they do to you. That can be very discouraging to a man. And I just want to thank the Lord for our congregation, like we have here, Brother Evan and his family, and his oldest son's there with us, and she's married. He's married also and lives there. And Brother Jonathan Wagner, his children are not marriageable age yet, but I'm just so thankful and grateful that we have those people there, and the blessings that they say not only to me about Evan or to Evan about me, of praising them and thanking them for a message, thanking them for maybe something they did to them, to their family, to their children, maybe something said in his message about an area they were very discouraged in at the time, or maybe they had a question, they didn't know what to do about it, and they were praying to God, and here he brought her out, and they go to him and tell him. That's okay. We don't need to have ministerial rivalry. And number eight is, because of failure, defeat, Satan took advantage of us, and we feel ashamed and useless, and if we just don't go away, it's just like it seems to be always there to haunt us. And maybe we seem sometimes like Job, who said, wearisome nights are appointed unto me. And this failure can be a moral failure. It can be one of lucrative. It can be one of a family. It can be an interpersonal relationship. It can be with your fellow laborers, or it can be to your congregation. Yes, and maybe it's an area that you as a minister in your congregation, you tried to take care of this thing and you took care of it, and maybe it didn't quite work out like you, and after it's all over and you see how it's working out, then you think back and say, well, I should have did something a little different. I can see that. And hindsight is good sight. Yes, it is. But let's let the bygone be bygone. Let's set that which is behind us and reach forth to that which lies in the future. But it is a good lesson to learn. When we see we dealt with a situation and after it gets worked out, we see some areas we could have did that differently. Yes, we do. At least I've seen that many times in my own ministry. And I think you all that are in the human flesh can say that. So what can be done for these hurting, despairing servants? The pain, the hurt, the weariness, the exhaustion, being wounded, being heavy, being hopeless, being dejected, being oppressed, being suppressed, being perplexed, being cast down, being faint, being spent, being footsore, or even being discouraged. connected. What can we do? Well, we have another list of things that we'd like to share with you in the closing of the message here. Another area that I didn't bring out there, I have a little note here down at the bottom about that, is the hardship of church transactions. When someone leaves your church and goes to another one, or when someone else leaves another church and comes to your church, and they come in there and they wanna join your church, and they tell you, and I was thankful for what Brother brought out this morning in that, how they do in their congregation. And you know how it is. We're happy. We're glad we're there. And we're thankful that they can be there. And I've seen people go and join churches, and that church they joined never went back to the church they left and asked them, well, what kind of family is this? And why are they leaving him? Why are they coming? But I want to tell you, sometimes they're not there very long, and they know why. They know what they should have heard. Yes, it comes out then. Then it comes out. Yes, so may God give us grace in them kind of situations. So if you're burned out or rusted out, brethren, I would say number one for you is rest. Jesus said, and we had this verse this morning, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I, and take my yoke upon you, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And I would say that is something to do if you feel burned out, if you feel despair about your ministry and your congregation. Take a time and rest, spiritually, of course. I'm not saying, I don't usually try and find rest by saying, well, we're going on a trip. We're going on a big vacation. We're going to go there, and we're going to go there, and we're going to go. That, to me, maybe I'm a little unusual, but anyhow, I would rather seek the Lord. Jesus says in Mark 6:31, come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while. That means get away from the thrust of the busy, busy life in a desert place. That means come out here and rest a while. And there isn't going to be them people like they did. You know, they constantly were after Jesus. They were after him so much, his disciples had to tell him, send them away, send them away, many times. And did Jesus send them away? No, he would heal them. But finally, Jesus said one day, you come apart and you rest a while. Let's rest. And it often wondered me what they did over there. Do you think they snoozed? Do you think he set them down and gave them words of encouragement to keep on and to follow him and to continue to be his apostles, as we heard today, his disciples, his followers of the Lamb? And I'm going to leave you one day. Maybe he went into that story. And they're going to kill me. And you know what Peter did when he first heard that? Oh, no, they aren't. I don't know what all he told them up there. The scripture doesn't say in Mark 6:31. But it says, come ye apart and rest away. Jeremiah 6:16 says, stand, see old paths, the good way, walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And I guess I'm in that older generation where I like to still see them old paths yet. Yeah, the old paths. That's such a blessing when we can still see the way, you know, we were taught when we were just little boys and girls. And for example, I'll give you an example. When I was a little boy, I went to church every Sunday morning. I went to church every Sunday evening. I went to church every Wednesday evening. And I mean, in my house, to not go to church, you had to really be sick. It wasn't just a little bit of a fever or a cough or something. Of course, if you were throwing up or something like that, Mom would stay home with us, of course. But, I mean, you had to really be sick. That's just that's all I knew all my life till I was 13. You know, and I look back on that, and I don't regret a day of that. I learned so much Scripture. I'm thankful for the Scripture I learned when I was young and went to the people of God. And we had worship services together. We had prayer meetings in the homes in the wintertime. And it was just such a blessed time together that I think had a tremendous buildup in helping me even after I was baptized. See, I got baptized at the age of 12, joined the church, took communion, went to church all the time then, and that was my church life. But then as I grew older, started getting into my teenage years, I started getting into things that I know was not right. Now, I'm not saying I was not totally saved in them 12 years, but I don't remember having what I would say the gift of the Holy Ghost put into me. But when I got older, I started getting into cars. You know, my first car was a 57 Chevy. I bought for $337, that's all. And I started dating when I was very young. I started dating when I was 15. I wasn't able to drive the car. I had to be driven to my wife's house. And I'm not saying you should do that, but I'm just telling you how my life went here. And we never left any of our children date that young. But anyhow, you know, that's the life I was in, and I got into music. And in our congregation, you were not allowed to have radios, and you didn't have internet in them days, and all that stuff you can get it on now. We had 33 RPM records. We had them big old things, and we had lots of them. My parents had lots of them. I learned many, many hymns in my young years off of them old records. But I would get a transistor radio and sneak it to my bed and put it under my pillow. If those of you younger people don't know what a transistor radio is, it doesn't look much bigger than a cell phone. And there I would listen to it, and I had to sneak that thing down. And then I got at age of 16, when I got driving the feed truck there, the feed mill my father owned, I would go out to the farms and shovel corn by hand, unfill that truck, go in and shovel it off by hand into the mill, go back out to another farm, and then take them loads of feed out to the farms and deliver them. That was my first job, that my father had a feed mill there before he went into mission work. And then in my old feed truck, I got a radio put in there one day. And then I listened, and I tell you what, I got into that. I could have told you the top 10 hits on the market and could sing every one of them by memory. And that was when the old Beatles were out yet, and the Simon and Garfunkel and all those people were singing there. And I was into it. And I tell you what, that thing got a hold of me. And when I was planning to get married, I thought, you know, there's some things in my life that I need to do. I need to make some things right. I have some things that I did that I should not have done, and I need to make them right. And I need to stop listening to this jazz. We called it jazz in them days, this jazz music. And I tried hard. I could not do it. No, I couldn't. I could do some other things. I did. I remember going to my school teacher and asking her to make things right. I remember us boys at Halloween threw a orchard man's apples all down on the floor and took off out of his place. And I knew his brother well. He come into the feed mill, and I told him one day we did it. He says, I want to tell you, David, if he ever finds out that was you, do you know where you're going? I said, well, to prison. He said, I cannot guarantee you. He's my brother, but I said, he is terrible. He just sued one of my sisters, he said. And he says, that man will never forgive you for doing that. But I want to tell you what, that thing bothered my mind. I knew I had to do it. I drove there one night. That's the first place I went. When I was seeking the Lord, I sought the Lord for 3 days and three nights till the Holy Ghost come in and filled me. And the first night, after that, first night, this Monday night, I remember sitting out there in the corn crib with my head in my hands, and I was drooping and praying, and I was fearful, but I did it by myself. I could have took another brother. I could have took my father or somebody, but I did it. I got my old 57 Chevy, and I went slowly out to that man's place and pulled in there. And when I pulled into his lane, or his house, him and his wife were sitting both out in that summer evening in the yard reading the newspapers. There they were. They looked at me coming in there. And I slowly opened the door, and there was a fence around his yard, and I come up, and I leaned against that fence. And I was crying. And he looked at me like, what's the matter with this fella? I said, sir, do you remember several years ago when all your apples got destroyed down here in your orchard? I'm the one that did it. He fired up at me. What did you ever do that for? I says, because we were doing what they called Halloween in them days. And we did it. And I'm sorry. And I said, I'm getting saved. And I'm here to ask you to forgive me for doing it and pay you for all those apples. And power of the Holy Ghost come down on that man. That man starts crying. That old paper, he starts going like this. He put his head down and he just cried. Do you know what the Lord did to that man? I know what he did to him. He brought things into his memory that he did that he never made right in his youth or past years. That's what he brought into it. Man got himself together and says, I won't take one nickel from you. You are forgiven. Phew. That was a glorious time. I got out of that old 57 and I thought I was in a 747 when I left that place. Phew. Out through there we went. Praise God. Yes. We need to make our wrongs right. Yes, we do. We need to make them right. I don't even know where I'm at with mine. It's time here. It's getting time to close. Okay. But we need to come apart and rest a while, find rest for our souls, like Jeremiah said. That's what we read that. Psalms 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And we need to do that. And if you're here this morning and you're weary in your ministry, rest in the Lord. I have to have patience. Yes, I told you, I'm saved 52 years ago, but I still have to have patience. It seems like maybe us older people, when we get older and we have to depend more on other people to help us in our situations, that patience is tested a little more. Doesn't it say in your patience possesses your souls? Yes, it does. And that's something I have to ask God. And there's times I have to go to my children or my wife and ask them to forgive me for being impatient. We can't be impatient. Yes. Psalms 116:7. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Praise God, we can return back to how God created us. Matthew 12. It says, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. Psalms 84:6. Who passing through the valley of Baca, or that, I believe that means Galilee, if I got it right, make it a well. Praise the Lord, we can make it a well. But maybe there is no water. Yes, we can. Number two, seek God's face. Do that, my dear brethren. If you're here and you're discouraged this morning, and seek his will, seek his opinion, seek his favor, seek his word. As it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, maybe I'll turn back there to that verse of scripture. I think I have a paper clip in that scripture there. No, I'm not finding it. 2 Chronicles, what is it there? You know that verse, many of you do, but let's have it here. 2 Chronicles, it's chapter 7, here it is, and it is verse 14. If my people, and I would say this is something to do, if we need to seek a restoration for our ministry. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And I'm going to say, and restore their ministry. We're going to add that one there too. Yes, God's able to do that for each of us. It also says in Psalms 27:8-9, seek ye my face and hide not thy face from me, the psalmist prays. And you know, Jonah out there, they came to him and they said, what meanest this, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. Pray, and the night of sorrow through till the morning breaks. That's what I'm encouraging you to do. Pray and pray. Even though you're in sorrow, maybe many times if you're like me, when you're discouraged, you don't feel like praying. Pray anyhow. You need to pray every day. We heard that this morning. We need to have our reading of God's word every day. We need to get up in time to do that every day. Yes, we do. That's very, very important. Yes, it says here, oh, what need, we sing in that beautiful old hymn, oh, what needless pain we carry, all because we, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So, brethren, in Psalms chapter 61, I'm going to read for my closing part here. Verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has, verse 161, anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. May you do that And don't you ever give up. Move ahead by faith, brethren. Yes, press towards the mark and the prize of the high calling, and forget those things which are behind you, and reach forth to that which lies before you. My last verse is 2 Corinthians 4:8. 2 Corinthians 4:8. Apostle Paul says these words. There's 8 words in this verse, these 2 verses, I'd like us to listen to. Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed.